Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
All right, thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you. Getaway Friday, June the 12th, 2020, my favorite time of year. And I love that the days are just getting longer and longer and longer. I was on the phone last night with somebody, and it was like 9:15, and I had no idea it was that late. The person on the other end of the line said, boy, I got to get a few things done before I go to bed. And I thought, well, why? Why they've got plenty of time, and I looked up at the clock, and it was 9:15, and it was still daylight outside. How about that? 15 coming up on 16 minutes past the hour here this morning. I want to thank Harry Carey, Ken Severa, of course, for coming on this morning. I hope you enjoyed that. He is so good as Harry Carey, and I am a longtime aficionado fan of the legendary Harry Carey, and he just does that better than anybody I've ever heard do that. Now, is anybody a Harry Carey fan or otherwise who would like to call in right now and give their thoughts on that impression? I think it's the best impression I've ever heard of Harry Carey. Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a ring. What do you think? And did it cheer you up now that baseball season is whatever it's going to be? We really don't know what it's going to be. See, it's tough to talk about baseball right now because we don't know if there is going to be such a thing as baseball season. Are there going to be fans? How are they going to play? What are the rules going to be? It's going to be very strange, but it will happen. Now, I do want to remind you again that coming up next hour, we've got something very special for you here, 10 a.m. until 12 noon. We have the last new episode of the Charlie Evers Show on this station. Now, of course, many of you know Charlie passed away on May the 24th, but we wanted to have one final new episode. We wanted to play that theme song two more times, and we wanted to have people on in that particular time slot who knew Charlie. And we've done all of the broadcast history of Charlie Evers. We all knew him as a broadcaster and worked with him. And some people, but that's basically, I think everybody we've had on knew him in that particular way. Well, today, as we sign off new episodes of the Charlie Evers Show, we are going to be joined by his daughter, Amy Evers Roston, and his grandson, Brandon McAfee, the daughter of Angie, one of his other daughters. And that's going to be particularly special because I think we're going to learn about Charlie the father, Charlie the grandfather, Charlie the family man, which he was. But we all know him as the broadcaster because that's the part of him we got to see on the microphone and around the radio station. So today, the two final guests on the Charlie Evers Show, the last new Charlie Evers Show on this station, I think he'd be very happy with the guest we've chosen, his daughter, Amy, and his grandson, Brandon. Now, as I was saying earlier, I don't think Amy has ever been a guest on any show on this station. She's been here for things. I know she was here for Charlie's birthday last year, and she would come in from time to time if something was going on, but I don't know if she's ever been a guest. And Brandon had been a guest a few times over the years with his grandfather. It's going to be fun. It is absolutely going to be fun, and that is what we're going to do. for 2 hours from 10 a.m. till 12 noon. And like I say, it's not really going to be an interview. It's going to be more of a conversation, a look back at the life of Charlie and what he was like all around. So stay tuned for that, coming up 10 a.m. until 12 noon. And then, of course, we will have the Exchange Club today from 12:10 until 1 p.m. And I'm sure that will be a humdinger today. We'll be on the air till 1 o'clock. Don't miss that. Now, let's see here. Oh, and again, I do want to let you know that the Charlie Evers Show, the original Charlie Evers Show, the 6 years of the Charlie Evers Show, are currently repeating on this station every day of the week at 7:10 in the morning, 7:10 at night, and 1:10 in the afternoon. So don't miss those programs. And you know what's funny? I was here for probably every one of those shows over 6 years. It ends up being about 3,000 hours. But you know, I've been listening to these in the morning because when I'm driving in at 7 o'clock, that's what's playing, a classic Charlie episode. You can't remember all those episodes, so an episode will come on and it's just like new to me, and I like that. So Charlie Evers repeats air on this station at 7:10 a.m., 7:10 p.m., and 1:10 in the afternoon. Don't miss that for love nor money. Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If you have anything you'd like to say, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. Did you enjoy the Harry Carey bit that we did last hour? And what else was there? There was something else that I wanted to talk about this morning. Let's see, because we haven't had a whole lot of time to talk about a whole lot this week. We've had a lot of really good guests and a lot of really good conversations. Oh, we had the retirement yesterday of Jack Hanna and Dr. Amy Acton. Now, remember, Jack Hanna will not retire until December 31st of this particular year. And Dr. Acton, she's staying on as some kind of special counsel to the governor. But boy, I'll tell you, that was very peculiar. I'm not saying, well, not with Jack Hanna, it wasn't peculiar. But with Dr. Acton, I don't know what prompted that. I'm not saying that somebody can't leave their job, and certainly she's going on to a different job, a special counsel to the governor. But it just seemed very strange, the timing of this, right in the middle of the pandemic. I mean, 3 months ago, nobody knew who Dr. Acton was. And now, all of a sudden, before the pandemic's over, before we have a vaccine, she's leaving her position? I thought that was kind of, I think it shocked a lot of people yesterday, to be honest with you. It must have been National Retirement Day yesterday. That's all I know. National Retirement Day or National Leave Your Job Day. Or maybe it's just an Ohio thing yesterday. I don't know. Give me a buzz. Do you have any thoughts on that? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have anything to say on that topic, I'd love to hear from you, because I will tell you, that was very interesting, and I'd love to know what your thoughts are on Dr. Acton leaving her position. Now, I know a lot of people have very strong feelings when it comes to Dr. Acton. I don't know, you know, and I'm still not really sure what brought out those strong feelings, because as I've said before, she has to run everything through the governor. If she said something that he did not like, he could override her. There's no doubt about it. And somewhere in there, she got all the bad press on this whole thing. So I'm not sure. How do you feel about her retirement? How do you feel about the timing of it? And how do you feel about her in general? I've heard people even come up with kind of little nicknames, we'll say, about her. I don't, and it, do you think this is going to, here's what I think is going to happen, because obviously now you're going to have somebody new in that position, and I think what you're going to find is that this had nothing to do with Dr. Acton, because I don't think this is going to change, because I think what you're going to find is that mostly Governor DeWine is setting the policy here, and I'm sure he's taking advice from the medical field, medical professionals, but I think whoever ends up in that position is going to have the same effect, same position that Dr. Acton had. I don't think you're going to see any change at all. So all this anger and all this picketing and all this really violent attitude that was bestowed upon her, I think you're going to find is not going to change with the next person. I think it's going to be the same thing. I don't think it had anything to do with Dr. Acton. I've also found when she announced her retirement yesterday, something that was kind of interesting to me was, if you went to social media and looked at it, she was either really loved or really hated. There was no middle ground with her. I saw people making posts, oh, so glad she's going to be gone. Can't wait for her to be out of there. All the bad feeling will be lifted. And then there were people who said, boy, what a great job she did. She saved Ohio. She was tremendous. We're so sorry to lose her. So there was that side, too. There is no middle ground with her. And, you know, for what I can say, from what I've seen of her on television, which is just about all I've seen of her, and some interviews. I did watch her interview with Colleen Marshall in the beginning of this whole pandemic. She doesn't seem like a bad person. I understand some people don't like some decisions that she's trotted out with, but she doesn't seem like a bad person. She doesn't seem like a uptight or kind of snarky person. And a lot of times you run into those. So I don't know. Does anybody have any thoughts on that? Dr. Acton leaving her position or Jack Hanna leaving his position after 42 years with the Columbus Zoo? And as I said, the times that I've interviewed Jack Hanna over the years, he could make coffee jumpy. He was just a jumpy guy in general. Holy mackerel. Jack Hanna was something. Give me a buzz. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We would love to hear from you. Now, you know, I did the fishing thing last weekend. I don't know if I'll make it to the drive-in this weekend. I was thinking about that last night. You know, I don't know. The agenda this weekend is kind of funny. I know I have some things that I need to do, but I'm not really sure how that's all going to shake out. My weekend is not quite as structured as it was last weekend. This weekend is kind of a little more unstructured, should we say? So I'm not really sure. Might end up at the drive-in. Don't know yet. I certainly do want to do that at some point. I think that would be a lot of fun. And I did enjoy the fishing last weekend. The fishing was okay right up till the sunburn. And I still, the sunburn was so odd because on Saturday is when I went out fishing. And I noticed I had gotten some sun, but it didn't hurt Saturday night and it didn't hurt Sunday. And then Sunday, I went out and did some things outside. I went over to Kirkpatrick and was outside for a good portion of the day and really didn't feel bad then either. But when I woke up Monday morning, man, my neck and my face, oh, it was awful. You want to talk about pain? That was no fun at all, to be sure. No fun at all. All right. You know what? I think we're going to have another call here momentarily. This is going to be a lot of fun because this is somebody else who we've had on from time to time, and this is a big call. So momentarily, we will have another call on this station. It won't be Harry Carey again, but, you know, in celebration of the 6th anniversary week, I think this fits in just as well coming up here momentarily. I think you're going to enjoy this. That's what we're here for. We're here for your entertainment and enjoyment. That's what it's all about. Cannot believe we're already here in the month of June. You know, the last month has flown by very fast. I don't know if the next month is going to do that, but the last month has flown by incredibly fast. And May is usually one of my favorite months, and the fact that it flew by so fast was, I don't want to say it was sad, but the weather was so, oh, here it comes, here's our call, so maybe we'll get back to this momentarily. But as many of you know, we have been celebrating our 6th anniversary week here on WWGH Radio, and we have had some great, great guests this week. Dick Cavett, Dr. Art Uhlein, Cousin Brucey, Sam Donaldson called in, Colleen Marshall, David Newell, Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. We had on Eleanor Clift yesterday. It's just been tremendous. And this is a person who started appearing with us back in 2015. Can you believe that? 5 years ago, about this time of year, as a matter of fact, 5 years ago, this person started appearing with us, has appeared with us many, many times, and it is only fitting that we close out the 6th anniversary week with a visit. I know, it's hard to believe, but a visit by, and I know he's very busy, which is what makes this all the more special, a visit from the Commander-in-Chief, the President of the United States. We had to go through all kind of Secret Service stuff this morning. President Donald Trump. President, how are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. My goodness. I wasn't sure we were going to get you this week, President Trump, with all the stuff you've been up to your eyeballs in.
Well, it's been very, very busy, but things are going absolutely fantastic. I have to tell you, we're back on track. We're going to get rid of the COVID-19, or as I like to call it, the Kung Flu. We're going to sue the Kung Flu. If we can't sue it, we're going to deport it. We're going to deport it back to China, and it's going to be tremendous. Believe me.
Kung Flu, huh?
Kung Flu. Can you believe this? You know, I always say I'm the greatest president since the great Abe Lincoln. But you know, what did Abe Lincoln really have to deal with? I mean, a teeny tiny civil war that lasted 48 hours, and I get stuck with the Kung Flu from Wenchang, China. Can you believe this? And I got to deal with the rioting and the looting and all this other stuff. It's okay, because I'm doing an absolutely fantastic job. It's really, really incredible, I have to tell you.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, President, we know your feelings on COVID-19. You touched on it there.
Don't like it. But we are having my, you know, personally, I think it's just a big hoax. But I think I'm having my very first rally coming up next Friday in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I want everybody crammed in there, shoulder to shoulder, just to prove that this thing isn't going to happen. And it's going to be a really, really incredible rally. Of course, everyone's going to have to sign a waiver just in case. You know, I just want to be covered legally. So you'll have to sign a waiver saying you're not going to sue me. But that's okay.
You got to watch those hoaxes.
Yes, absolutely. They're the worst. They're terrible, terrible people, the hoaxes. Terrible family. The family of hoaxes.
Well, President, we know your feelings on the COVID-19.
Right.
Yeah. Well, how have you felt about this unrest, this rioting, this protesting going on around the country?
Well, I do think there's an upside to it. I do think there's an upside because, you know, people were stuck in their homes for so long, and now people are out and about, they're walking, they're running from the police, and the police are functioning like trainers because they're like, you know, get down, get up, hands down. So they're kind of giving them a really tremendous workout, which I think is really, really wonderful.
That's awful nice. There's always an upside to everything.
Absolutely. That's the one thing. If you talk to me, there's always a positive. There's always a positive. You know, but one of the things I'm concerned about right now are the mail-in ballots. I think you've heard, I don't like these, you know, because it's bad, this whole thing. There's a lot of voter fraud with the mail-in ballots because you've got the 6 and 7 year olds who are knocking over the mailboxes, stealing the ballots and giving them to the 9 and 10 year olds who forged them. And it's a very sophisticated operation. I call it the junior deep state. And then they sign them, and then, you know, we got to get rid of this. We have to get rid of children. We have to get rid of mail-in ballots. You know, because the kids, what they do is, this is a big operation, because they launder the money through the lemonade stands and the newspaper routes. So it's very, you know, because the kids are on the WhatsApp and the TikTok and the mail fraud. It's very upsetting. So we're going to get rid of the kids, we're going to get rid of mail-in ballots, and we're definitely getting rid of the post office.
You've got quite a list of things you need to get done.
Oh, lots of stuff. It was really, really, we have a big list. We're going to make it happen. It's going to be incredible. And as you know, I tested negative for this whole COVID thing. You saw that. And I tested multiple times negative. And because, you know, because the doctors said it was the most negative test they've ever seen of anyone who's ever taken COVID. They said it was beautifully negative. They said it was eloquently negative. They said it was positively negative, which I, you know, that's me. I'm, you know, when I do something, I do it 100%.
Nothing can be said for you but that, President Trump, that when you do something, you do it 100%.
Right. And also, I want to dispel this rumor. This rumor that I went down to the bunker. I did not go down to the bunker last week. I went down to inspect it, but that's it. I didn't go down there because of the rioting and the looting. I went down there because, you know, I expect a luxury bunker experience like all of my hotels. And by the way, Scott, you can rent the presidential luxury bunker for $100,000 a night. It's like the Lincoln bedroom. Everything's taken care of. You're 7 stories underground. I think it's quite a gift. It's quite a gift if someone who wants to, you know, give that to somebody. It's really, what do they call that? Experiential.
Boy, I tell you, President Trump, if anybody's an entrepreneur, it's you. That word was made for you.
That's exactly. You know, it's French. It's French. Can you believe that? Entrepreneur. It's a French word. I think we should make that an American word.
Speaking
of, the French are pretty lazy. They're pretty lazy people. Why would they invent that word? You know what I'm saying?
Now, how is your lovely wife, First Lady Melania?
Well, Melania is amazing. And, you know, Melania practically invented social distancing. Remember a couple of years ago she was slapping my hand when I was going to touch her? I have not seen this woman in years. It's really incredible. She's so inventive. She'll call me up, Donald, I can see you till COVID's over. And I think, you know, that's pretty amazing. She's so smart. She speaks 5 languages. You know that. I've told you that before. I mean, English is not one of them, but she speaks 5 languages.
Oh, no, President Trump. Recently, there were some reports, and we want to address the reports always, that you are having some kind of war with Angela Merkel.
Oh, Angela, that guy, what a weirdo, I have to tell you.
No!
You know, he's the worst.
No,
he dresses as a woman, did you realize? And not even an attractive woman. A lot of the people who cross-dress, at least they're attractive. And this guy, what the heck? You know, Angela. Because Germany, they don't want to do the G7 because of the COVID. But I'm going to do, you know, they allow rioting and looting with the COVID, but I can't have my rallies. That's why I'm having my rallies, and they don't want the G7. And I want to bring Putin along to the G7. They said, no Putin. I'm like, why not? He's a great guy. He's a tremendous guy. And the German, Angela Merkel, she doesn't want Putin. There's something about him trying to invade her country. I don't know. I don't know all the details.
You know, Angela Merkel is a woman.
No. That's a rumor. That's a rumor.
Believe me.
I've seen Angela close up. That is not a woman. If that's a woman, Germany's in not good shape. Not that German women are the most attractive women, you know. Yeah, I hope you don't have a lot of German listeners, because you probably just lost all of them.
Yeah, well, if we did, they're not there anymore.
Right.
No. President Trump, I do want to make a mention of this. You know, not only are you coming on at a very busy time in the world, Sunday you turn age 74.
That's right. Can you believe it? I'm the youngest president in the history of presidents. It's so incredible. And, you know, they're having birthday parties for me all over the country, all over the world. Huge events. It's been absolutely amazing. I've received so many gifts from so many other world leaders. And I think I'm very excited about this, because, you know, it's I'm considering, you know, there's two things I'm considering: making my birthday a national holiday, which I think is important, and then also getting me carved on the route Mount Rushmore, because I think people, you know, not me, I don't want it, but many, many people come up to me at my rallies, when are you going to be on Mount Rushmore, when are you going to be on Mount Rushmore, and they actually have a fund, I'm not kidding, this is real, they have a fund to get me on to Mount Rushmore, and I'm so excited about this.
Now, you know, President Trump, and I don't want to correct you, but I believe you're the oldest president, not the youngest.
No, I'm the youngest, but no, I don't mean in age. I don't mean chronologically. I mean with energy and vitality and, you know, vigor, all those things, because I just have so much, you know, energy to do the job. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, I understand. You know, since we talked last, President Trump, this is a presidential election year coming up in November, just right around the corner, really.
It really is. It's right around the corner. But that's, you know, we're going to win. We're getting rid of the mailboxes. We're getting rid of the mail. We're getting rid of the children. We're getting rid of mail-in voting. And on top of this, I'm getting rid of the Electoral College, which is outdated and outmoded, and we're replacing it. We're replacing it with Trump University. So you go from a college to a university. That's a big upgrade right there.
Oh, that is fascinating, President Trump. We now know who you will be facing on the Democratic side, former Vice President Joe Biden.
Oh, please. Please, that guy, you know, he's older than me. Did you know that?
I did know that, yes.
Did you know that? He's 95. He's 95, and, you know, he's so old. They discontinued his blood type, which is bad, because if he gets hurt or anything, they have no blood. They have no blood for him. So, you know, just on that alone, I should win. And, you know, he's very scattered. He doesn't know what day it is. You know what I mean? And he's got the really bad hair plugs from that 80s hair transplant. He looks like a doll. You know what he really looks like? He looks like Jeff Dunham's character, the grouchy old man. Did you ever see Jeff Dunham, the ventriloquist?
I did see Jeff Dunham, sure.
Look up to the Jeff Dunham doll, the old man, the grumpy old man. That's Joe. I'm very upbeat. I'm very positive. Joe's very, very sour. He's very sour. He has a sour face, like he drank sour milk or sour cheese.
You know, President Trump, can we get your pledge right now that this will be a nice, clean campaign this year between you and Vice President Biden?
Absolutely not. This is going to be man-to-man, hand-to-hand, mano-a-mano. I have no idea what mano-a-mano means, but a lot of people say it when they're talking about this kind of stuff. So, no, this is going to go right down to the bitter end. Right there. And if I lose, believe me, they're going to take me kicking and screaming out of the White House, you know, because it's rigged. This whole thing's rigged. Even, you know, I've been saying it's been rigged for what? Since even before I was elected. And even after I was elected, I had an investigation into the whole thing, because we had 3.2 million illegal voters in California. So I don't, you know, I'm not giving any kind of a pledge, unless it's for furniture, because that really works well in the wood.
Well, President Trump, I know your time is very valuable, but I have to ask.
Got nothing really happening right now. You know, today's Friday. I'd like to be golfing, but they say it looks bad if I travel.
Oh, man. President, I have to ask you, your relationship with the media has always been a little rough. That's why I always appreciate you coming on the program. Has the relationship between you and the White House press corps gotten any better?
Oh, but I think it's gotten worse. But you know, the fake news has, you know, they're scared. They're running scared because they've got my brand new press secretary, Kaylee McAlealy, and she's so incredible, so beautiful, so skinny. You know, I love the skinny women. And she stood with me in front of the church, St. John's Church, and she's, you know, she went to Harvard. And she kind of reminds me of that character from Legally Blonde, because she's a genius. She's really, really smart. Does a tremendous job, and I think we've got the press on the run. Even Fox News has been dropping the ball lately. You know, I'm going to keep them in line. I was doing an interview with Harris Faulkner the other day. She was really drilling my knees. I didn't really appreciate that.
Was she? Man, that's rough. Rough life. You know, you did take a lot of heat, President Trump, when you went over there to Lafayette Park to that church. That was a little...
Right. Well, you know, I thought it was important that I stand there and hold a Bible because, you know, a lot of people believe in the... And listen, by the way, I love the Bible. I love the Bible. You know, it sold billions and billions of copies. You know what else has sold billions and billions of copies? Right? The Art of the Deal. I always say the Bible's my second favorite book because I'm not in it yet. But from what I understand, they're going to be reopening it very soon and updating it. And I am going to be in the Bible. That's why I held it, to let the people who write the Bible know that I'd like to be in the latest updated copy.
Well, you know, President Trump, our sixth anniversary week, you've been on since you were a candidate starting 5 years ago.
Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Now you have one of the largest radio audiences in the world, other than Rush Limbaugh, and that's mainly because of me.
You know, I was thinking, is it possible that maybe at the next State of the Union, if you get reelected, that maybe I could get some kind of a seating there that night, like Rush had?
Absolutely. We're going to make the Congress a lot bigger because I want a bigger audience. It's only like, you know, it's only like 800 people. I'd love to have 50,000 people for my next State of the Union.
Well, President Trump, do you have any words for the people listening right now? Anything you want to leave them with?
I want to leave people with the fact that we are going to win. We are going to win. And this summer is going to be short and fast. And we're going to have rallies. And it's going to be absolutely incredible. We're going to keep America great because we deserve to have a tremendous country. And don't let anything get in your way. When it's time to vote, vote. We're going to make sure all the Republicans vote by mail, but not the Democrats, because it's going to be a lot of fraud if we do.
And I should make mention to the listening audience here in our sixth anniversary week that starting way back when Donald Trump first announced he was running for president in 2015, up through election night we had this gentleman on. He has been on The View, national television, won awards for his portrayal.
I was on Howard Stern this week.
I saw that. Howard Stern. Yeah. How did that go?
It went great. He did a 15-minute set on his show, so it was very exciting.
It's amazing, and it's
25 million people. The response was incredible.
Well, and you know, it's John DiDomenico is the how do you refer to yourself? A Donald Trump impressionist impersonator?
I'm an actor, comedian, writer. That's how I like to refer to myself. In my own little world, but I do, you know, I do a lot of characters. Dr. Phil and, you know, a bunch of folks. So, but this has been great. It's been nice to have the continuity of calling into your show over this time, and congratulations on 6 years. That's fantastic. And that list of people you've had, all of Sam Donaldson, and it's really an amazing list of guests you've had.
It's been a lot of fun, and I just remember when we started doing this, you know, it's hard to believe now. You think back to 2015 when we first talked, you know, there wasn't a lot of call for Donald Trump at that time, and then all of a sudden you were with us on election night. You were one of the first people that night on air who said you thought he was going to win when all the polls said no. And it's
I had said that for months in advance. I did a BBC interview, and I said, I wasn't saying that just because I was an impersonator. I was saying it because playing him, I was crisscrossing the country. I was on the road about 35 weeks on the run up to the election, and I could see the enthusiasm for him. I'd never seen anything like it. And I spent a year as an intern for U.S. Senator Arlen Specter, so not that gives me any, you know, particular insight, but I've always been fascinated by politics, and I've never seen anything like the run-up to the election, and I really felt a lot of the polls were getting it wrong.
What's your feeling? Do you have any feeling toward this year's election?
Well, this year's election's a little different, and, you know, I know a lot of people on the right, a lot of people on the left. One of the things I try to do with the characters kind of go right to middle, but I think it's a little more divided. And also, when you go into a second election like this, people already know what the product is. There was a lot of a lot of people put a lot of aspiration on him, what he could do and what he possibly couldn't do, and now they know the brand. They're going to know how he's going to operate. So I've seen a little bit of hardening on both sides. There is some drop-off in some of the Trump support that I saw before, only because, you know, because the way he handles things. But it is still, but the people who are pro-Trump are, you know, incredibly pro-Trump. That enthusiasm is still there. I do think there still is an enthusiasm gap with Biden, which was much worse with Clinton. That was what I initially noticed 4 years ago, that the people who were voting for her, even they weren't that excited, and the people who were voting for Trump were incredibly excited. And you can't underestimate that enthusiasm. That is the gold in this election cycle, and any with him, that's really what it is. He imbues people with this incredible excitement, and it's amazing. That's truly, truly amazing. And perception is reality in a lot of these cases. And he's really good at getting his message out. You know, one day, what was it, last week, he did 175 tweets. So he's, you know, the thing about Trump is he is so incredibly brilliant at communicating to his base. And they get all of their information through him. And that is a personal relationship that they have with him, which a lot of presidents never had before social media. That is a unique way to communicate with somebody, and people feel that they are being spoken to directly by him. And you can go back 2-3 election cycles, that really didn't exist.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Do you give any credence to the idea in the last election that in states like Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin that voter turnout went down because people thought Hillary was going to win, because she was just ahead in the polls so much and it was almost a done deal, that this time people are not going to chance it, that those Democratic voters who didn't turn out, lesser of two evils, all that talk that went on in the last election isn't going to happen this time?
I think we're going to have very high voter turnout, and I hear that from both sides. I hear that from the people that I know on the right, and I hear that from the people on the left. And I think just in general, people really want their voice heard, even if they do think it's a win, their person is going to win or lose. They want to know that they can get out there and they can vote. Here is one thing, though, and there was talk of this during the election, of secret voters. And I believe that actually happened, because when I was playing Trump and I would do a corporate show or I would do a trade show, and I would meet, in the course of a day, meet 1,000 people, and people would say to me, literally whisper in my ear, and say, I'm voting for you. They didn't even say I'm voting for Trump. They said I'm voting for you, because I became this avatar for him. But they would say, I'm voting for you, and my wife and kids don't even know it. And I heard that many, many times. And I heard that from women saying, I'm voting for you, my husband hates you, or a guy saying, I'm voting for you, my wife hates you, or my kid. It was very interesting to hear them say, to say that. Also, people told me that when pollsters would call, they would give the wrong information, that they were voting for Hillary when they were actually voting for Trump. And I heard this over and over and over again. And I thought, well, this doesn't make sense. It doesn't. When I would look at the polls, and I would check the polls daily, because I'm playing this guy in front of crowds of, you know, 500 to 5,000 people. And I saw that this isn't right. These numbers are not right. You do not match up. Obviously, what's happening to me is anecdotal, and it's not scientific. But when you're crisscrossing the country and you're coming in contact with, you know, 1,000 people line up to get a photo with you, and you hear what they're saying to you, and you see the enthusiasm, and they're telling you these things, and through the course, and election night, I was actually in Montreal performing for a friend of Trump's at a huge event, and I saw the states turn, and once those states turned and went red, it was like a domino effect. It was really remarkable.
it was something else. You know, John, I've always wondered this. I don't think we have ever talked about this. Getting the voice is one thing, but what we do here is completely improv. You don't know what questions I'm going to ask you.
No idea.
What is the personality that you have formed for this man over the last 5 years?
Well, it's the same. Well, I've been doing Trump since 2004, and it's essentially the same base personality. You know, Trump went to the Marvel Collegiate Church, and that's the guy who wrote, that was Norman Vincent Peale. He wrote The Power of Positive Thinking. And if you listen to Trump, he's adopted The Power of Positive Thinking, and it's on steroids. So even with something like COVID-19, for him, it's like, well, it's going to be fine. It's a miracle. It's just going to go away. You know, it'll be, when the summer comes here, it's just going to, the heat's going to kill it. He takes those aspirational things, those positive things that he wants to happen, and he says them. And a lot of times, they sound necessarily based in fact, but because he's owned his own company forever, you know what I mean? He's never worked for anyone. He's never had to deal with HR. He's never had a boss. Because he's able to have done this in a sales business, you know, because really he's a salesman, a lot of those times, you know, those things may or may not have come true, but he's been able to say them, and in the end, it's worked. So this is how he operates. So a lot of times, you know, whatever, and this is not a political thing, but if Trump is somewhere, it's like, is this the greatest? Is this the most incredible place? Is this fantastic? Is this the best? Because when he's doing that, he's not necessarily saying that for himself. He's saying that for you. He's communicating that to you. That's why his hotels are the most luxurious, and they're the tallest, and they're the best, and they're the most incredible. It's Power of Positive Thinking on steroids, and that is his approach to things. And I, you know, and he's also, I've been following him since about 1985, because I had met him in 1990, and I met him again through the 90s because I worked at a lot of his properties in Atlantic City when I was performing. And one of the interesting things about him is he always needs to have a villain. He has to have an opponent, and that opponent has to be a villain. And that way he can vilify that person. And this is something he's done even with Ed Koch, the mayor of New York, and Jerry Nadler, when Jerry Nadler was the borough president in New York City. It's just how he operates. So it keeps this kind of grinding energy going. You know, if you look at what happened with Rosie O'Donnell, I mean, Rosie O'Donnell made a joke about his hair. He milked that for 7 years, and he got so much press out of it. I mean, it was on Entertainment Tonight and Access Hollywood and Inside Edition and all these things. And for him, that's the press machine that keeps going, because that's his brilliance, is his ability to communicate to people, can do it through the media very, very easily, because he knows how to leverage the media. A lot of times, you know, when he was saying he was taking hydroxychloroquine, a lot of people don't think he was, but the amount of press on that alone that shifted the focus on that, and that's his beauty. He really is able to leverage the press like no other president, keep himself front and center. I don't know if you're a presidential person, if you've followed presidential history, can you think of any other president in history who on an hourly basis, hourly, not daily or weekly, on an hourly basis is coming up in the news feed?
No, and that's what, you know, I had a conversation, I believe it was with either Eleanor Clift or Sam Donaldson this week, and, you know, prior to COVID-19 and these rallies, it was the Trump news network, all of them, whether they liked him or disliked him,
right,
that's what it was, 24 hours a day, and I've never seen anything quite like that with a president. It's very interesting.
Right, and, you know, and Trump himself, he, you know, the reason he's so, what's the right word, he's so emphatic about fake news is because he knows that he's given out fake news over the years about his properties, about his wealth, and people just eat it up. And he knows, it's true because a lot of stuff wasn't verified when he first got on the Forbes list. It wasn't verified that he was a billionaire. They just took his word for it. And he used to be his own press. I'm sure you've heard the tapes of John Barron, who sounds just like Donald Trump, and this guy's never been verified as a real human being. But that was Trump being, you know, this guy, John Barron, his press secretary. And he knows that the press takes fake news and spits it back out. So that's why he can say with total confidence, fake news, fake news.
Absolutely. John, if the election were held today, would it be Biden or Trump?
Honestly, I live here in Las Vegas, and I'm trying to gauge that myself. I'm going to say he's going to win. By the people that I interact with, and obviously I'm not traveling because of COVID, but here in Las Vegas, I would say he's going to win.
It certainly would not be a shock. John, congratulations on Howard Stern this week. What a tremendous thing.
It was really, really incredible, I have to say.
And thank you for your kindnesses to me over the last 5 years. May it continue. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. It's going to go on forever. Trump, it should be president for life. President for life.
Thank you, John.
All right. Thanks, John.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
John DiDomenico, a guest on this show portraying Donald Trump, candidate Trump, and President Trump over the last 4 years. And John, by the way, is out in Las Vegas, and that was a live interview. He is up at 6 a.m. out there. So we thank him so much for doing that this morning during our 6th anniversary week. We've got a very special presentation coming up over the next 2 hours you're not going to want to miss. Stay tuned. This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.
By your support, you can possibly arrange for them to get a better heater in the studio, because we talked about this last night. Space